Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
Welcome back to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio. And now, here's Gene Steinberg.
So is Point Pleasant the kind of place where you have one or two diners as the main restaurants?
It was, you know, when we first started going there about 6 years ago. But what's happened the last 6 or 7 years has been that this Mothman thing has grown. So many people are coming to town. Now they have like a Thai restaurant that you can walk to that's more of a chain type of a restaurant. There is a Village Pizza. Now, Village Pizza originally was located on the site of what was Tiny's restaurant or groceries back during the Mothman days. So it's got the whole Mothman vibe there. So that's a really neat place to go to. But honestly, when the Silver Bridge collapsed, a lot of the commerce from the Ohio side, they couldn't come over to Point Pleasant. So they started losing a lot of businesses. So a lot of the dining establishments, the hotels, things of that nature, they're on the Gallipolis, Ohio side of the bridge. A handful of restaurants, they're growing. People are opening up ice cream stores. It's on the rise, but still small town feel for the most part.
Now, they built another bridge to replace the Silver Bridge. So they built it in the same location?
No, actually, and that's been kind of a bone of contention for the people of Point Pleasant for over 50 years now, because what ended up happening was when the bridge collapsed, that main thoroughfare, it was an interstate highway, went right through downtown Point Pleasant, which again was great in the 20s and the 30s and probably in the 40s and the 50s. It got to be a little bit too much traffic. By the time the 60s came around, you've got these 18-wheelers that would be rolling through town. And long story short, they decided to erect the new bridge up the river a ways. And now it actually, that thoroughfare, I think it's Route 35, now bypasses Point Pleasant. So I think it's about maybe a mile and a half, 2 miles from where the original intersection was. But what that did to Point Pleasant was it devastated them economically. Because if you think about all that traffic, this was the main conduit from the east to the west, and even really the north and the south, that went right through Point Pleasant. Now it's relocated, so they were missing out on all that traffic that wasn't necessarily local. People who would stop for gas, people who would stop for food, whatever they might get in Point Pleasant, most of them drove by it now. So to answer the question, no, it's not in the same place. It's not far, but it's far enough that it hasn't been friendly to the community of Point Pleasant from a business standpoint.
Hey, you mentioned a Mothman museum in town. I mean, is there enough material to actually fill a museum?
There really is. It's a really neat place. It's a really neat place. What Jeff Wamsley has there is what I would call a gold mine. He has an unbelievable business there. And what he has is memorabilia from the movie. He's got the telephone that was in the hotel room that Richard Gere was getting pranked by allegedly Ingrid Cold. He's got that phone in there. He has other movie props. He has the police officer who he spent time with, who was based upon Mary Heyer, Connie. They have her police uniform on the wall there. They have all kinds of other memorabilia in the museum aspect of things, and they have the letters. They have they do have letters from John Keel, but they also have the, I want to say confessions, but that's not the right word. They're the police reports Steve and Mary Millett and Roger and Linda Scarberry wrote out. And my wife caught this. Interestingly enough, they have all these handwritten reports in, you know, plastic and basically displayed in the museum. And there are 13 pages. Exactly 13 pages of reports of these four individuals.
Now, of the people who originally reported the Mothman sightings, are there anybody that's still alive?
The original witnesses, Linda Scarberry has since passed away. I'm not sure if Roger Scarberry is still around or alive. I know he's not around Point Pleasant. I know he moved away. And according to Denny Bellamy, he's never, ever come back to town. There is a lady by the name of Faye DeWitt. She's been in a number of different documentaries, and she's also in the book, The Mothman Prophecies. She's still alive. I haven't met her. I think she lives in North Carolina, but she'll probably be at the festival. In terms of eyewitnesses, when we asked Carolyn if she had seen Mothman, she said, no, she did not. So we asked her about UFOs, and she said, I didn't see UFOs. I didn't believe in UFOs, but then my brother told me one landed in his yard. She said, what I did see were the lights in the sky, because that was another thing that was going on big time in the 60s, were these really beautiful lights in the sky. She said, you couldn't even really describe them, but they were the prettiest lights that I've ever seen. So of the people that we interviewed, there were 11 of them. There were a couple of people who had had paranormal experiences, but they didn't directly, they weren't in the Point Pleasant area. They were in the Charleston area. So the people that I've talked to, I haven't met a witness of Mothman firsthand.
Now, you said that they had paranormal experiences. What do you mean by that?
Well, there were a couple things that were described by one lady who we interviewed by the name of Harriet, and she had had UFO experiences coupled with missing time. And since that point in her life, she has basically gained all kinds of different abilities, including a 160 IQ. And she has psychic gifts. She actually, this was really bizarre. When we first started talking to her, we coordinated Zoom meetings during COVID with her. And she's in the Ohio area, and we're in northern Illinois. So it's not easy to get together with her. We haven't actually met her in person yet, except online. But she's one that's been known to be able to medically intuit people's physical conditions just by talking to them. And as she and I were talking over the phone, I was describing some back pain that I was having. I've struggled with back pain for many years. And she said, I'm getting a vibe from you, and I think you might, and this doesn't sound like back, but she said, I think you might have diverticulitis. And I'd heard of that before, but I didn't know much about what that was. And literally within the same week, I had some other physical issues and had to experience my very first and only ambulance ride to the ER for a condition that was similar to that diverticulitis, which was just bizarre. So Harriet had had some experiences. Andy, who I'd spoken of earlier, had had some experiences. And he had actually claimed to have seen Mothman a couple of times and built a shrine to Mothman and had a vision of 9/11 that back in the 60s of the towers basically crumbling in New York City, you know, decades later. So those were the two people that actually had experiences that I would call paranormal. The rest of the people were on the other end of the spectrum in terms of what our book is about, which is about the trauma that happened to the people who experienced the Silver Bridge collapse in the community. So the rest of the people we interviewed weren't really necessarily along the Mothman lines so much as they talked about Mothman, they looked for Mothman, they didn't find Mothman, but they did endure the bridge disaster, and they had a big story to tell about that.
If there was no Mothman, that would be a big story.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. I think the fact that those instances happened at the same time makes it really easy to tie them together. But I can share with you that during our study, one of the things that was told to us was before you come to Point Pleasant to interview people, be really careful about the way you talk about Mothman and its relationship to the Silver Bridge. Because if you're going to come here into my town and you're going to talk about, you know, what you're going to talk about, what you're going to interview about, you need to be sensitive to that. So we were really careful to kind of keep those two things separate from one another, at least in the conversations.
I want to ask you on the other side about the reconstruction of a bridge there. Were there engineering reasons to put it in another locale? Obviously, it had a harmful effect on the success of Point Pleasant. But we have to think here, sometimes you want to build something so that it sustains itself for a longer period of time, more solid ground, whatever. Just wondering about that. Is that anything that you have actually looked into? Bill Kuselis is joining us, talking about Mothman, Point Pleasant, West Virginia, and a lot more to go We have Tim Swartz. I'm Gene Steinberg. You're in
the Paracast.
Do you need a website? Well, you can get a great deal on hosting services with Namecheap's legendary coupon code. They're offering substantial hosting discounts on shared hosting, business hosting, VPS hosting, reseller hosting, and even dedicated servers. Namecheap is preferred by millions. It's backed by a money-back guarantee. Use the coupon code LEGENDARY to cash in on the special deal at Namecheap.com, Namecheap.com.
First came Attack of the Rockoids, and it was a critically acclaimed success. And now there is The Coming of the Protectors. A former military intelligence man is contacted by a space woman in a dream. A dream that turns out to be a nightmare, because evil forces on her distant planet are planning to conquer the Earth. This is gripping science fiction of the classic kind. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors. Find out more at Rockoids.com. That's Rockoids, Rockoids.com.
In the 1800s, there were 160 spas set up in Europe to dispense fresh liquid whey. The sick would recover their health and the aged would become rejuvenated. There's only one whey protein powder on the market that can generate and surpass the results seen in the whey spas in Europe. But first, let me tell you the story of 90-year-old Mary, who was semi-bedridden and in hospice care. Mary had been consuming only a pea protein and pasteurized milk drink. Then Mary was put on to Green Meadow whey mixed with raw milk. She was given 2 to 3 whey drinks per day. On the very first day, Mary was up and came into the kitchen and made chicken soup. She was on her feet for many hours. 3 days later, Mary had gained 2.5 pounds of healthy weight. Green Meadow Whey is health giving to both young and old. Green Meadow Whey is guaranteed to make you feel better, stronger, reduce your inflammation, and eliminate virtually all toxins from your body without feeling sick. To order, go to bestwhyprotein.net. That's bestwhyprotein.net. Or call 888-988-3325. That's 888-988-3325.
I'm about to give you a life-changing URL that if you will simply visit it and give these tax consultants a call, it will change your life. Whether you're a blue-collar worker, or whether you're a school teacher, or whether you're a scientist, or whether you're a millionaire, almost no one out there is taking advantage of legal, lawful tax loopholes. Go to gcntaxcut.com. It takes you right to American Tax Solutions, and they will give you an amazing preview of what they can do for you. gcntaxcut.com, gcntaxcut.com.
Shahibo Tea Club's original Pure Pouty Arco Super Tea helps build red corpuscles in the blood, which carry oxygen to our organs and cells. Our organs and cells need oxygen to regenerate themselves. The immune system needs oxygen to develop, and cancer dies in oxygen. So the tea is great for healthy people because it helps build the immune system, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. The tea is also organic and naturally caffeine-free. A 1-pound package of tea is $49.95, which includes shipping. To order, please visit shopsupertea.com. The first word is shop, spelled S-H-O-P, then the word super, and then the word tea. The complete website is shopsupertea.com, or call us at 818-984-6100, Monday through Saturday, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. California time. That's 818-984-6100. ShopSuperTea.com.
Jose works on a farm. Safety is important. His boss calls 811 to determine where it's okay to dig. This protects Jose from hitting an underground line and from serious injury. Because Jose can't tell exactly where or how deep the lines are, he doesn't dig until 811 tells him it's safe. The most important thing is that Jose works safe and goes home to his family. For more information, visit farmsafe811.org. A message from the Pipeline Operators for Ag Safety Campaign.
We'd like to hear from you. If you have a comment or question about the Paracast, send it to news@theparacast.com. That's news@theparacast.com. And don't forget to visit our famous Paracast community forums at forum.theparacast.com.
So again, Bill, the negative effects of rebuilding that bridge elsewhere. Why did they do it?
So the president at the time was Lyndon B. Johnson. And he declared the area a disaster area, which qualified it for federal funding in addition to state funding. to be able to reconstruct a bridge. He knew how vital it was, not only to the community, but also to the traffic that was really utilizing this as the conduit to go from east to west and vice versa. So they basically set a line in the sand, and he and the governor of West Virginia devised a plan to get this thing built in 2 years. So when they began the bridge, and I don't know, you know, the people that I've talked to about this in Point Pleasant for our study, Rick Handley, who's a roads commissioner, Denny Bellamy, we've spoken of quite considerably here. And then a gentleman I haven't mentioned yet by the name of Jimmy Wedge. Jimmy was actually the coach of the Point Pleasant basketball team, during the game, he already knew the bridge had collapsed. What he didn't know is his mom and dad were on the bridge and he lost both of them. But they all basically said and kind of agreed, and this is my thought process as well, that they put the bridge up as quickly as they possibly could. They chose the site that made the most logical sense. I don't know if it had anything to do with the infrastructure. I've got to believe there was some type of a study done by the powers that be to come up with the best location for it. And this is something also that was spoken to by a number of our participants. Had that bridge been built through Point Pleasant, they were already at the point. The infrastructure of the town couldn't handle the traffic that was going through the town. So to put it where they did really kind of opened things up really for commerce and for commuters to get to the various places they needed to go to the detriment of Point Pleasant. So I don't think it was devised, certainly not for any ill will or any other reason, man. This made the best logical sense, and they needed to act fast.
You talked about how people in town are sensitive about asking the questions about the Silver Bridge and Mothman. Is there a consensus in town that the two are connected, or just a coincidence?
I think that's a great question. And I would say that probably the greater portion of the community, even Jeff, who is very noncommittal when it comes to Mothman. I mean, he's built a wonderful business based around Mothman. But one of the things he does very, very well is he doesn't draw any conclusions. He allows individuals to come up with their own, you know, curious conclusions of what they think it was. But to answer your question more directly, I would say there are probably more people in Point Pleasant that lean towards it being a coincidence. Mm-hmm. A lot of them didn't believe Mothman was even real. I would say of the 11 people that we interviewed, at least 3 of them thought it was just complete nonsense and made up. One of them thought that the Scarberries and the Millettes were going to be in trouble with their parents, even though they were married couples, and thought that they needed to make up a story when they went to the police department to protect themselves from being out too late. So I've heard that report. I would say probably largely Point Pleasant leans towards them being coincidental, and whatever Mothman was, it was a neat thing, and we're glad because our community's on the rise again now because of it, but I don't even know that they really believe it for the most part.
For people who were living in town at that time, I mean, there was so much more going on, as Keel had pointed out. I mean, there were the UFOs, of course, and the Men in Black. I mean, Mary Heyer himself had unusual, let me put it that way, visitors to her office.
That lady had nerves of steel. She had nerves of steel because absolutely, I mean, the freaky guys that showed up in her office telling her that John Keel was a fraud, stay away from him, he's nothing but trouble. I really used to like Keel, but then I picked up something he published 15 minutes ago. And then he shows up in her office and says, stay away from him because he's a liar and all this type of thing. It's, yeah, she had nerves of steel because one of them actually told her, what would you say if we told you to stop investigating this stuff? And she said, well, I'd tell you to go to you know where, you know, and that was that. But she just kept about her business and she kept on reporting.
Absent the Silver Bridge collapse, how much attention would the Mothman episodes have been given?
I think the Silver Bridge collapse, you know, unfortunately, because it happened and all the people's lives were taken and families and community affected, sadly. But I think it put an exclamation point on the stuff that was reported for the year, the 13 months before the bridge collapsed. I think absolutely, had that not happened, we might not be having this conversation right now. I think it's that critical to the mythology of the Mothman story, that without it, it's just not that big of a deal.
The image in the Silver Bridge book, as I recall, I almost felt the Mothman was the banshee warning of death.
And I would say that I agree with that wholeheartedly. Just based upon the things that I've read, the other people who are as into this as I am, I mean, we're all really pretty similar to thinking that this was a harbinger. This was something that was there really to warn that there was some bad stuff going on and you really need to pay attention. I think conclusion is too strong of a word. I don't want to use that, but that's where my thought process lies. I think that that's what it was, some type of energy that was warning.
Well, one of the people that that you talked to, you referred to as Andy, I think, is that Andy Colvin?
Yeah.
You know, he talks about how there were all kinds of strange things going on in that area when he was a kid. He referred to, like, you know, secret government think tanks, a school for special kids, things like that.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, what's your opinion of that? I mean, he's not the only one that has talked about things like that in that area at the time.
So, Andy's a really good friend of mine. We met online a couple of years ago, and he's a rather controversial figure in the paranormal community. But to get to know him on a personal level, he's awesome. And he's become a very good friend of mine and Jackie's, and we've gotten to know him quite well. We went out to visit him for the first time live and in person last November and spent a day with him and with his wife. And the things that he's written, the stuff that he's drilled into, the loose ends that he ties together, combining conspiratorial, combining spiritual beliefs, the whole mindset of Mothman being a Garuda, and then really what he has stated significantly in his books. He talks a lot about what happened in Mound, West Virginia, which is where he's from. That's where he and Harriet are from. The Harriet that I was referring to is mentioned in several of his books as well. They're very good friends, and they're both in our book. He's got some really interesting stuff that's happened. And I can tell you, two years ago, Jackie and I went to Point Pleasant. And this is before we'd really gotten to be friends with Andy, but we were still corresponding a little bit.
Let us break. We'll have more with Bill, Gene, Tim. You're in
the Paracast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Let's face it, food shortages are a real threat now. Supply chain breakdowns, inflation, fuel prices, global conflicts, fertilizer cutbacks, farmers being encouraged not to plant. The stage is set for the peanut butter to hit the fan. But for some reason, Americans are still in denial about food shortages. Listen, we don't take risks with other things in our lives, so why take risks with your food security? Those who know what's coming are using today to prepare. Millions of Americans have purchased Ready Hour emergency food from My Patriot Supply, the brand people look for when they're ready for real preparedness. MyPatriotSupply.com is America's largest preparedness company. Get stocked up on emergency food that lasts up to 25 years in storage to get you through tough times ahead. Your other choice is to stand in government food lines, hoping for a handout. As we both know, that's not an option. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com right now. MyPatriotSupply.com.
USA Radio News with Kenneth Burns.
Transportation Secretary Pete Buttigieg wrote a letter to airline carriers on Thursday telling them to improve their service, warning them that new rules may be coming to better empower travelers. According to data from the department, about 24% of domestic flights have been delayed, just more than 3% of them canceled in the first half of this year. Buttigieg added in the letter that his department will have a new website live by Labor Day weekend, clearly displaying each airline's cancellation, delay, and refund policies. The State Department has called on the Kremlin to release imprisoned opposition leader Alexei Navalny on the second anniversary of his being poisoned with a nerve agent. The department accused Russian officers of trying to assassinate Navalny, who was arrested after being treated in Germany upon his return to Russia in January 2021. This is USA Radio News. The New York State Inspector General said in a report that a state trooper should have been disciplined for getting romantically involved with then-Governor Andrew Cuomo's adult daughter while serving on his security detail. The report came 2 years after the relationship and the trooper's apparent banishment to a post near the Canadian border. It was speculated at the time that Cuomo personally ordered the transfer because he was upset over the relationship. The report does not address whether the governor requested the transfer or which daughter it was. A Cuomo spokesman said Friday that he had no role in it. A federal judge told South Carolina Senator Lindsey Graham that he still has to testify before a grand jury in Fulton County, Georgia. Graham had asked the judge for an emergency stay as he appealed the decision ordering him to speak to the panel that is investigating whether former President Trump and his allies interfered with the 2020 presidential election in the Peach State. You are listening to USA Radio News.
Do you need to get your hands on some extra money right now? Maybe $25,000 or more? If you're a homeowner, now is the perfect time to get cash out while homes in many neighborhoods like yours have gone up in value. You can use the money for anything. It's yours. You can buy an investment property, pay off higher interest debt, or make home improvements. If you need $25,000, $50,000, or more, now is the time. Home values are up, and so is your equity. We offer you a way to use it. No need to use your savings. Call New American Funding now and see how much cash out you can get. Call 800-721-2477. 800-721-2477. 800-721-2477. That's 800-721-2477. NMLS 6606. www.nmlsconsumeraccess.org. This is not an offer or commitment to lend. Subject to borrower and property qualifications. Not all borrowers will qualify. Terms and conditions apply. Equal housing opportunity.
Hi, this is Bryce Abel. I'm the producer of Dark Skies, the co-author of AD After Disclosure, and you are listening to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio.
Now, before you go on, Andrew Colvin is a friend of the show. He's been on three times so far since 2011. And he just has so many unusual stories to tell. You were telling us about meeting up with him?
Yeah. And even before we met him in person, the previous year, we had gone to the area that he grew up in. And we've been there a couple of times, and we've done ghost box sessions. And I'm not a big ghost box guy. I'd never done it before. And we had a couple of different sessions right around the area where he experienced things. And the first one that we did was in the parking lot of a church that he's referred to in a couple of his books called the Bethel Assembly Church. And as we were sitting in there, one of the people in the car with us had the blindfold on, sensory deprivation type thing going on with the noise-canceling headphones and, you know, alternating AM, FM signals. And Jackie and I were asking questions, and this other young lady was answering the questions. And it got really freaky because she was giving us reports of there's a man behind us, and we turned around and there was a guy standing on the porch watching us at the house right next door to the church, and there was a woman over here, and Jackie and I started feeling the sensation around our crown chakra and the third eye area that we were electrically being pulled upwards. It wasn't painful, but it was like a kind of like that sensation of when you cross your legs too long, your leg goes to sleep, and then it wakes up again. But this was happening in our heads. And I got really kind of bugged by it. And I said, should we leave here? And immediately the lady with the blindfold on and the noise-canceling headphones said, undeniable. So I stepped on the gas. We hightailed it out of there. That was adventure number one. Adventure number two was way more significant than that. We went back to a similar location, but in a place called Bird Mountain, which is right down the road from where that church was. And this time, Jackie and the other lady had the whole ghost box thing going on, and I was asking questions. but we also had Andy and Harriet on a Zoom meeting, and they were answering questions. And they were asking questions. Jackie was answering questions. And at one point, Jackie took her, she just whipped off the headphones, and she said, "Why are you guys shaking the car?" Well, the car was not moving. And Harriet said, they're fighting to come through you. What Harriet basically said was, you have got some type of thing going on here right now where there are spirits that are trying to get you and they're fighting to come out. And that's just part of the story. But I mean, just phenomenal energy in that area.
Yeah, I highly recommend Andy's Mothman photograph books. Very good.
They really are. They're not for the faint of heart, though, are they?
No, they're not. But I think that's what makes them unique and really worth reading.
They do, and thank you for saying that. Like I say, he's become a very good friend of mine, and he's really been a real big help with us helping us with our book. Yeah, I mean, when I first started reading his stuff, I thought, dude, you are way out there. And then I started kind of connecting the dots and following things, and you know, this word synchronicity that we hear so much about, all kinds of things like that started happening in my life as well, too. I don't believe everything that he's got in there, but I certainly am curious about the things that he says because he makes some awesome points.
If somebody were to go to Point Pleasant now, and not like during the festival, just a normal time. I mean, you know, especially around some of these areas where the original sightings were, the TNT area, the abandoned electrical plant, you know, what would they find now?
So the main place I think that tourists need to go to when they visit Point Pleasant, first you got to check out Just Museum, but you have to go to the TNT area, or what's known today as the McClintic Wildlife Preserve, because what you have in the McClintic Wildlife Preserve is that where they manufactured and stored the TNT, they had put it inside of what are referred to as igloos. Obviously, they're not real igloos. They're constructed of concrete and reinforced, but they're bunkers. They're overgrown with all kinds of foliage. You know, it's a foresty area, and it's a swampy area, and it's a spooky, spooky area. That's where the Millettes and the Scarberries had their initial encounters. So that's the first thing I'd recommend is try through that area in the dead of the night. Listen to either the soundtrack to the Mothman Prophecies movie or listen to the Mothman Prophecies audiobook and just get yourself really freaked out. That's the first place you need to go after the Mothman Museum, but also to the point, right where the Kanawha and Ohio Rivers meet. And I don't know if, I'm sure you're probably aware of this, but George Washington really named the area when he was surveying the land of what was then Virginia, and he came to the intersection of the rivers, and he said, this is a very pleasant point. So that name stuck, and they ended up turning the words around into Point Pleasant. But it's a beautiful, beautiful area. The name of the park that is called Tuendi Way, and it basically means where two rivers meet. And so that's a really neat place to go as well.
Now, when we look at the paranormal world, you like to think everybody's into it, and certainly ghost shows are popular. But as a matter of fact, when it comes to something like Mothman, it's a small number of people. And maybe that's the reason why the movie The Mothman Prophecies barely made back its budget.
You know, it's funny, Gene, because I, as you can tell, just from talking to me for the second time now, I'm a fanatic when it comes to this stuff. I've been into it for going on 20 years. And I think whenever we're really into something, we tend to think that other people are too. So when I have conversations, you know, with people in the business world or wherever my walks may be that day, I have to be careful not to get too deep into Mothland, because I can start talking at the level we are and it freaks people out, especially if they're just familiar with the name Mothman. And, oh, that sounds neat. I've got this pin of this mothy guy with a big, you know, red heart on him and that kind of a thing. But yeah, it's a much smaller community, obviously, than the UFO community is. In fact, to the point that my friend Sam Maranto was at a metaphysical presentation this last weekend. He gave his presentation first, and his was about correlations between Point Pleasant and the sightings from the 60s and some of the later phenomena that's manifested in recent years that's been called, you know, the Chicago Mothman. And they didn't know what the heck he was talking about. They didn't know much about Mothman. They really didn't know anything was going on today, or that books were out about it, or any of that business. So I think we tend to believe that it's maybe a bigger community than it really is, although it is on the rise. It's nowhere near as big as other things.
Unfortunate that it becomes more popular years after the event, when so few people are able to even tell us what happened.
Right, right. And like I mentioned, the people that we interviewed, with the exception of Andy and Harriet, who weren't in Point Pleasant, but were in the Charleston area, everybody that we interviewed, these are secondhand folks. These weren't people that were on the bridge. These weren't people that were in the car that was being chased by Mothman, or people that were accosted by the Men in Black, or Mary Heyer, even for that matter. She's been gone for over 50 years now. Those folks just aren't around.
When the atmosphere around Point Pleasant is completely different now than it was back then. I mean, you have to realize in 1967, it was still a fairly isolated community. I know before the bridge went down that you would go through there at that time, and there was an unusual air about the place that's completely different now. I mean, now it's hard to describe. It's open. It's a beautiful place.
And very welcoming too. And they kind of, as you were saying that, I was thinking, Keel talks a lot about window areas, areas where these paranormal phenomena can come through. And so if we think of a window as, an analogy, then maybe that window closed.
Let's close this discussion for just a moment, and then we'll have Bill and Gene and Tim back. You're in
the Paracast.
You are listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Hey, listeners. I want you to have the entire Paracast experience. So I'd like to tell you about After the Paracast. After the Paracast is an exclusive feature for subscribers to the Paracast Plus. With After the Paracast, you never know what's going to happen next. After the Paracast features color commentary, special interviews, and further conversations with Paracast guests. With Paracast Plus, you can download a very special enhanced version of the Paracast also. We do offer exclusive music, videos, and more features are coming. To get more info about subscribing, please visit theparacast.plus. Once again, theparacast.plus. Prices are just $1.50 a week, less than a cup of coffee at your local convenience store. Check out theparacast.plus to learn more about Paracast Plus.
If you're concerned about the power grid and want to generate your own supply of off-grid electricity, this will be the most important message you'll hear this year. Here's why. We now have a small number of solar generators back in stock. These emergency backup systems provide life-saving backup power when you need it most. And unlike gas generators, solar generators run quietly, emit no dangerous fumes, and produce an endless supply of free electricity from the sun. Whether it's wildfires, dangerous weather, power grid issues, or just getting off the grid, you'll never have to suffer through painful power outages again. Even better, all this week, radio listeners get over $700 in free off-the-grid bonuses, too. Go to MySolarBackup.com to learn more and check availability. That's MySolarBackup.com. Look for the free report, Crisis Cooling, how to make absolutely sure your meat, milk, and medicines stay safe and cool in any power outage. Yours free at MySolarBackup.com.
Hi, I'm Dr. Joel Wallach, veterinarian and naturopathic physician. The Dead Doctors Don't Lie guy with an important message. Take charge of your health. Do not continue to blindly follow the system that has failed us all. I appreciate GCN listeners because you're open-minded and intelligent. If our system is so great, why is it that the United States, the USA, ranks nearly 60th worldwide in longevity and number one in obesity? All the while, we spend more money than all the other countries combined annually on unnecessary health care procedures and toxic drugs. It doesn't take much to get on track, not with the government or pharmaceutical companies, but rather you in control of your own health with a basic understanding of nutrition and supplementation. FDI Longevity has the finest quality health, sports, and energy supplements available. GCN listeners are invited to join our team of people who want to stay healthy well into old age. We are currently looking for specialists to represent FDI Longevity and Save America. To buy products at wholesale prices or join our business team, go to GCNteam.com. That's GCNteam.com. Support GCN. Get healthy.
As Dr. Wallach says, we all have nutrient deficiencies in our diets and must supplement with 90 essential nutrients in proper balances. At no cost or obligation, get a personal certified holistic health coach to help you develop a supplement program based on Dr. Wallach's recommendations. Call Linda at 833-VITAL-90. That number to call is 833-848-2590. That's 833-VITAL-90.
Hi, this is Dr. Joel Wallach, the mineral doctor. You've heard me talk about 90 for life for years. 60 minerals, 16 vitamins, 12 amino acids, 2 fatty acids. You may not know this, but I've actually designed Arthrodex for animals. That's right. Your pets need 90 for life, too. Get this essential pet product by calling 877-279-9422. That's 877-279-9422. Again, 877-279-9422.
Hi, this is Joshua P. Warren, author of The Poor Man's Paranormal, and you're listening to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio.
Yes, a window area. And you said the window may be closed. Or maybe it only opens under the right circumstances, which do not happen very often. By the way, Bill Kusla is going to be back with the After the Paracast premium show because I have other questions to ask of him. And we're in the final segment of the main show. But that's another theory I guess one could voice. If there are window areas temporarily allowing some sort of travel between dimensions in the multiverse, are they always open or is it something that happens under certain circumstances? What?
Whenever I hear people talk about there being a weird vibe out there, if it's weird, it's because people are kind. It's because it's a beautiful area. People are friendly. You have a nice time there. You don't have your workaday world chase you down. I don't sense any weirdness there at all. And I mentioned that we had done some ghost box sessions, and I think I'm pretty skeptical, to be honest with you, of that type of technology. And what is it really telling me? Am I reading more into it than whatever signal I might be receiving? I don't know, but I just don't sense the weirdness in Point Pleasant. I sense a community that's thriving upon the weirdness and the legend, but I don't sense it being a place of any kind of remote and remotely close to evil or anything. I find it to be a very welcoming community, very kind-hearted, very open people.
Have you ever had anybody tell you, anybody who's still alive that, you know, lived in the area around that time, that it was a different atmosphere, you know, at that time, that, you know, they felt like that before the collapse of the Silver Bridge, that there was something, you know, hard to describe, that there was something going on, but now it's different, now it's changed.
One of the things I count myself as extremely fortunate is having had the opportunity to talk to Carolyn Harris. Because Carolyn, when she passed away just a few months after we met her at 74, she talked to us about UFOs. She talked to us about the Men in Black. And it was interesting the way that she described the Men in Black. I didn't remember this, but Jackie did. So I wish she could be with us here at the moment, but she just couldn't. She had recalled that Carolyn had told her, yeah, there were Men in Black. She said, we thought they were government men. But there were also those other ones, which means they weren't something that she thought were government men. They were different. you know, like I said, I don't recall that part of the conversation. Maybe she was just talking to Jackie, or maybe, as is in my habit, oftentimes I'm not paying attention. That's entirely possible. But she basically told us there were different types of alleged men in black there, some that were government and some that were not. And she didn't go into detail about what that meant.
Ah, so many questions, so few answers.
But such a fascinating topic.
Indeed. I always wonder about men in black, because it all comes out of a legend, which is Gray Barker encountering the claim from his friend Albert Bender that three men in dark suits or black told him to stop talking about UFOs, forgetting later on they ended up being space people. There were stories around the world about men in black, but why would government agents coalesce around some tiny little town? And by the way, I did some examination of Point Pleasant, and the population, unfortunately, is decreasing. So back in 2000, it was 4,600, 43-something by 2010, and in the 2020 census, over 4,100. That's sad.
I guess it is still decreasing, then. I can share with you that I'll bet 10 years down the road, that's not going to be the case. One of the ladies who we interviewed, her name is Susan Sayer, and she was talking a lot about, you know, certainly what Jeff Wamsley has done for the community of Point Pleasant with the festival and the museum, and his daughter now has a shop right down the street, and they've opened up another business or two as well. So Main Street has been really revitalized by this Mothman legend and what's happened there in recent years, but also that there's a group of young people in Point Pleasant where, to your point, for years the population has been decreasing, but there's a group of young people who are very entrepreneurial. They see the opportunity that this Mothman thing is really done for the community, and they're opening up businesses as well. And I want to say she said we opened 9 new businesses in Point Pleasant this last year, and that was during the pandemic. So that's 2021. They were opening up businesses. So I don't think they're still trending downward. I think they've kind of hit bottom and they're on the way back up now. We just haven't seen it in the numbers yet. I think from a business standpoint, and it's all tourism now. As Denny says, the Gallup Police side, they've got the accommodations, but the Point Pleasant side has the tourism. And it's not just Mothman tourism. There's a lot of American history there. Fort Randolph was allegedly, and it's controversially known as the site of the first battle of the Revolutionary War, with the whole skirmish between Lord Dunsmore and Chief Cornstalk, who we haven't even talked about yet. So there's American history there, and it's not even Civil War, it's Revolutionary War history. So it's a really neat place, not just from the Mothman perspective, but from the terrain that's there and the business, and then also the American history.
So if you were to tell somebody that was wanting to go to Point Pleasant, what would you tell them to look for?
Well, you know, we talked a little bit about, well, a lot about the Mothman Museum. We talked about the TNT area. There's Camp Randolph. There is the 2ND Way Park, which is right where the point is, the intersection of the Kanawha and Ohio rivers. The riverfront is absolutely gorgeous. There is a, what do you want to call it, like a theater seating type, like stands like you'd have in a basketball game, almost like a half of a coliseum type of thing where people sit. And Linda Lane, who is somebody else who's in our book, she had told us that every single night on the Gallup Police side, the Ohio side, that people gather just to sit down and go visit. So, I mean, just to kind of pick up that piece of Americana where people sit and visit and just chit-chat and get to know people. I mean, they love to chew the fat. They do. So, I mean, if you're getting to know people in their own confines, so to speak, Point Pleasant's a great place to go just to talk to people. It's just fascinating. There's another part. Point Pleasant had a lot of trouble in the 1900s with floods. So they built flood walls finally because they were tired of having the Ohio River overrun their entire town every 10 years or so. So they put these flood walls up, and back several years ago, artists came in and they basically painted scenes on the riverfront side of the flood wall that depicted Chief Cornstalk and Lord Dunsmore and some of the skirmishes. And it's done very, very nicely. So that walk along the Ohio River to look at the flood wall, is really, really neat.
Hey, you know what was neat? This time we spent, we'll have more of it on After the Paracast right now. Bill, tell our listeners where we can find more of the stuff you do.
So I can be found presently on Facebook. My wife and I have a research-based organization that we call Phenomenology Research Professionals. So we have a Facebook page for that. Most of my correspondence is on my personal Facebook page. That's Bill Kousoulas. It's spelled K-O-U-S-O-U-L-A-S. Feel free to reach out to me there, either through private message or friend request. I'd be more than happy to correspond with you there. I'm going to break my confidence here. My phone number is even on that page as well. So I'm open to text messages, phone calls. Our book is coming out. Again, it's entitled Bridging the Tragedy, Silver Linings in the Mysterious Ohio River Valley, written by Jackie and me. The target date is right before the Mothman Festival, so probably right around the middle of September. So that's where you can find us.
Hey, you can find us on Twitter if you look for the Paracast. Look for the Paracast on Facebook as a group. As a fan club, we have branded merchandise, four different logos to choose from. Just go to theparacast.shop, theparacast.shop for more information, great prices. We also offer the Paracast Plus, where you can get a version of this show with better quality audio, free of the network ads, plus the After the Paracast podcast, where we continue an interview or have special interviews, and Bill will be hanging out for us on that. We also have a special deal. For the coupon code UFO20, you can get a five-year or lifetime subscription to the Paracast Plus for a 20% discount. Go to theparacast.plus for more information. Theparacast.plus. Once again, theparacast.plus. Bill Kousoulas, thanks for joining us on the Paracast.
Thank you.
The Paracast, featuring Gene Steinberg, is a copyrighted presentation of Making the Impossible, Incorporated. Tune in next week for a new adventure in The Paracast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNLive.com today.
Attack of the Rockoids has been well received by critics and readers alike. It's a thrill-a-minute story you'll never forget. A former U.S. military intelligence officer is haunted by intense dreams about a beautiful woman pleading for his help after a terrible battle in outer space. But the dreams turn out to be true and thrust him into a telepathic love affair with a woman whose faraway planet is intent on destroying the Earth. And now the gripping tale continues in The Coming of the Protectors. It's the second book of the Rockoids trilogy, a galaxy-spanning adventure that pits our hapless heroes against powerful, fanatical enemies that threaten the lives of freedom-loving beings everywhere. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors, classic science fiction at its best, available now. For more details, visit Rockoids.com. That's Rockoids.com.
Get healthy, not high, with 100% pure CBD powerful natural pain relief from Veterans Vitality. GCN listeners, have you ever thought about how CBD may help you? I'm sure you have heard about the many benefits of CBD. Well, here's your opportunity to try before you buy. Created by veterans and for everyone who deserves better choices, our CBD is derived from organic hemp, grown in the USA, and third-party tested. Veterans Vitality CBD saves you as much as 25 to 50% over our competition, and a portion of all sales is contributed to veteran nonprofits and events. Many of our customers have experienced improved quality of life, help with anxiety, PTSD, and overall well-being. Our products do not contain THC. They are safe, non-addictive, effective, and 100% legal. GCN listeners, get your free trial bottle of premium CBD by simply paying shipping and handling at GCNFreeCBD.com. That's GCNFreeCBD.com. Again, GCNFreeCBD.com. Offered by Veterans Vitality Premium CBD.